And thank you to the musicians. That was such a beautiful reminder that God's goodness is running after us. And I know that it's such a different time to be engaging in worship, but it's really important that we remember in all seasons of our life that God's goodness, it's running after us, and it's an incredible gift. Well, this morning I am going to be speaking out of Luke 10, and I'm really excited to share with you this morning because Luke 10 is a passage that I've been really captivated by for a long time now. I think that's because when I think about the characters that I'm going to speak about today in this story, I really can see myself in this picture, and I can hear the whisper of the Spirit to me to linger in this moment with Jesus. And so I am hoping that for you, as you listen and you read with me and you engage in this moment, that you too would really hear the invitation of the Spirit to linger with Jesus and to hear what he is saying to you today. Sitting in silence and in quietness and stillness is not an easy thing for me to do. During lockdown, I have learned that I am an extrovert, and that being, okay, I already knew that I was an extrovert, but being in lockdown is my worst case scenario. I've had conversations with people this week, and I relief tour on Wednesday, and you know, there were so many people saying, I love lockdown, it's my best life. I love the opportunity to be still and to not have any things that I have to do. It's not like that for me. It is really hard. I love being with people. I love the feedback loop that I get from people. And yet what I recognize is that it's really good for me to be still and to be quiet, especially when that means that I'm lingering with Jesus. And so, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the idea that love changes everything. And we sat in that passage in Deuteronomy 6 and then in Matthew 22. And we've talked about how God calls us to love God and to love others. But as I've been thinking about those passages, sometimes I wonder whether we have a partial revelation of who God is, of the goodness of God. And then instead of being able to kind of have a bigger or have that idea expanded, we jump straight into our activity because we want to show God that we love him, or we want to show our response to him, or maybe the expansiveness of that love is actually intimidating to us. Maybe it's really hard for us to sit in that space for too long. Maybe we feel unworthy of that amount of love, or maybe we feel challenged by the idea that if God just loves us, if his love doesn't require anything of us, then that means that we have no control over that love. There's absolutely no doubt that God has called us to love him and also to love others. In fact, it's the greatest command that we would love God and love others. But this morning, I want to suggest to you that before we can love others, before we get to the business of loving others, we need to rest and be quiet and be still and allow our hearts and our spirits to continue to grow in the love of who God is and what that means for us. We're heading into the next part of our sermon series. We've been sitting in this idea that love changes everything. And soon we're going to be talking about a love like this, the way that God's love for us, it encourages us to love the people around us. It encourages us to be whole emotional citizens and parts of our community that can touch our community in the deepest ways. But before we move to a love like this, I want to consider what it looks like just to be. Just to be loved by God without an addition. What does that look like for us? And this passage in Luke 10, it prepares our heart for the idea of just being before we do anything for God. It's about being content to be. It's being with Jesus before we do things for him. And so we're going to read together this morning out of Luke 10 and verse 38. It says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.' But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Luke's historical account is different to the other Gospels. Matthew and Mark, who scribes for Peter, and John are Gospel accounts that are eyewitness accounts of the disciples, what they saw and the stories that stuck out in their minds. But Luke is written differently because Luke is written by a physician who went about the task of finding out what people said and gathering the evidence and the eyewitness accounts of Jesus. And so it's interesting because this little deviation from the narrative structure only comes in Luke. They're five tiny little verses, but they're a really important vignette that Luke is setting up for us as believers. You know, if we read through the verses leading up to this moment, it's the picture of the Sadducees and the Pharisees asking the question of Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? It's that story in Matthew 22 that we have already talked about. And so Jesus tells them the greatest command is to love God and to love others, to love your neighbor. And then he goes on to explain to the disciples and to the people gathered who our neighbor is. And he talks about the story of the Good Samaritan. And then in the following chapter in Luke 11, Jesus goes on to talk about the Lord's Prayer and to lay out for us how we can pray and how we can access God through our prayers. But before Luke gets to that moment in chapter 11, he pauses for these five little verses. I think it's really important because before we can get to the work of loving our neighbour, Luke is reminding us that we need to be with Jesus, that we need to be captivated by Jesus, that we need to pause and sit at the feet of Jesus and know who he is and who we are in light of that before we can love others. Because as we talked about a few weeks ago, loving others is hard. And if we're going to do that out of an empty well, out of a small revelation of who Jesus is, then we're going to be constantly frustrated. We're going to run out of mercy. We're going to run out of love. We're going to run out of the capacity to be Jesus' feet in the world if we haven't first had a revelation of who Jesus is and the deep wells of that in our lives. We must rest in him. We must be known by him. What I take away from this story is that when we are with Jesus, he recalibrates us. He shapes us and he prepares us. If we go back and read verse 38, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. You know, being with Jesus recalibrates us. Martha she's not doing the wrong thing in this story. It's not like we look at this story and think, oh my gosh, Martha, like, it's Jesus. Get it together, girl. Like, why are you acting like this? It's very obvious that you are in the wrong. No, it's actually Mary in this story that is behaving in a way that's countercultural, because Martha is going about the work of feeding people. She's doing hospitality. She's welcoming people into her home. She's trying to take care of people's needs, to love them, to create an environment where people can access Jesus. And so it's not actually Martha that's doing the wrong thing, but her busyness, her focus on the details, has caused her to lose sight of who Jesus is in that moment. She's so worried about caring for people that she misses that Jesus is there and he's present. And you know, as I've thought about this story over the years, I've kind of oscillated between seeing myself in the place of Martha and seeing myself in the place of Mary. And sometimes I want to argue for Martha, because I think, come on guys, we can't all just sit around all day at the feet of Jesus, like, you know, zenning out, and you know, things have to be done. If everybody is just sitting at the feet of Jesus, then nobody is being fed. Except that in the very chapter before, in Luke 9, we actually hear a story about how Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And what that reminds me of is actually God requires nothing of us. He doesn't need our busyness. He doesn't need us to be doing work. He chooses to use us as vessels for his glory, but he doesn't need us to do that. And so if we miss the moments with Jesus, if we're not captivated by who he is because we're doing things for him in our need to be seen, to be being busy and good for God, then we're going to miss out on who he is. In Mary, we see that she has made Jesus her first priority. I don't know if it's because Mary had a revelation that her time with Jesus was limited. Later, we see her anoint him, and it's another moment where we see Mary not worrying about how she looks for her culture. She's not trying to look like wife material. She's actually totally absorbed by Jesus, and she gives her whole dowry later to worship him and anoint him because she has a revelation of who he is. Maybe Mary is just really good at being present in the moment, of sensing that this is a holy moment worthy of being still and quiet to experience Jesus. The next thing that I see in this little vignette is that being with Jesus shapes us. You know, the disciples, they sat at the feet of their rabbi because they were being taught to be rabbis themselves. That was the Jewish culture. They would learn under a rabbi, and then they would take on their own disciples. And it was the Jewish tradition of how the Old Testament and the Jewish faith was continued on through the generations. And so I think it's really interesting that Mary is invited into this space. She's invited into this moment with the disciples, and it's not just to be present with Jesus. It's because she's learning, she's being shaped by him, she's being prepared for something. She's being shaped not by the conventions of the world, not by what the world tells her she is capable of doing, but time and time again we see in Jesus that he calls people to be different, to carry a different kingdom culture. You know, Galatians 3:28 says this: "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all Christians. You are one in Christ Jesus." Paul reminds us later that we have all been invited into this space where we're made equal at the feet of Jesus. It shapes us to know who we are because we are daughters and sons of the Most High God. But it also prepares us. Being with Jesus isn't just about being recalibrated. It's not just about being shaped and understanding who God has called us to be. It's about preparing us for what he is calling us to. Verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.'" I don't know about you, but I see a picture of myself in this moment. Because there are times where I would look at maybe what other people are doing for the kingdom and think, come on, guys, get to it. Like, there's so much work to be done. Why are we sitting around doing nothing? Or maybe when I would want to tell God, I'm doing quite a lot for you right now, God. And, you know, maybe if you could get some other people to get involved, or at least, you know, tell people that I'm doing a good job, that would be really good. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being really vulnerable in this moment. But, you know, I think it's interesting wording that Martha uses the phrase, "come and help me." Because it reminds me of another phrase that Jesus uses when he says, "come and follow me." In Matthew 11, 28, it says this, if I can find it in my Bible. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, the juxtaposition of Martha wanting Mary to come and be busy and be active is not what we see the invitation of Jesus in this moment. He says, "Come and follow me, and I will give you rest. I'll give you my burden and my yoke, and it will be easy." It's about Matthew 6, where he says, "Don't worry about anything. Don't store up treasures here on earth, because at the end of the day, rust is going to destroy that. The thief will come and steal it. But if you follow me, then you'll build treasure in heaven." You know, Nathan was talking last week about that moment in John 6 where we think that following God requires something of us. We think the work of the gospel requires something of us. But actually, Jesus is just asking us to have faith. In verse 41, it says, "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her.'" You know, in being overdoing, God is inviting us as followers of Jesus into a space where we can be courageous enough to just sit. Luke says twice that Mary just sat. She did nothing. She just sat at the feet of Jesus, and she was calibrated, shaped, and prepared by him. The band are going to come and they're going to play a song for us this morning to listen to. You know, as you listen to the song, I want to encourage you this morning to think about what it would look like in your life to be recalibrated, to be refocused on him, to be shaped by him and prepared by him for wherever he is leading you. As we move into less restrictions, you know, the moments that we've been able to find, the spaces that we've been able to carve out to engage in the 5x5 more, or to listen to a podcast, or to play worship music in our homes, to spend time with our children, discipling them in the ways of God, you know, they get squeezed out as our lives start to take over and the busyness starts to take over. But I really believe, church, that God is inviting us this morning to sit at the feet of Jesus and to be shaped by who he says that we are. As a practical step, I would invite you or encourage you this week to journal some of the ways that you feel like maybe God is inviting you into that space, some steps that you could put in place to make sure that before you get busy, before you get about the work of extending God's kingdom, that you first spend time just being with Jesus. Let the words of this song wash over you this morning and get rid of the distractions around you and just focus your attention on Jesus, because he is worthy of our honor and our adoration and our exaltation. He is everything. He is enough. Allow yourself to be with Jesus this morning. Mm-hmm.